The more I think about this recruiting run, the more impressed I get.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. The more I look at all the context surrounding this recruiting run, one thing jumps out that may be more impressive than all of it, and it's been a wild month. We're going to recap this wild month, and if you extend the month a little bit more, it gets even crazier. And then we're going to talk about the U.S. Open. Auburn has two Tigers participating in the U.S. Open that tees off right now. They're teeing off right now. So let's jump in and let's lock in. Look, guys, the recruiting run speaks for itself. And compared to the rest of the country, you're talking about a top 10 class in this staff's first real run at it. And one thing I think that's starting to jump out and make this thing even more impressive to me, you add Nyaire Crum last night. He becomes your 19th commitment. And you're doing all this playing from behind. And you're doing this so quickly, and you're playing from behind. Well, what does playing from behind mean? When you take over as a head coach in the SEC, there's going to be longer tenure. There's going to be some coaches that have been here a minute. And those guys, once you're a head coach at a spot for a couple of years, you're recruiting well beyond just the year you're in. You're not recruiting just the 2020. This is the 2027 class. You're not just recruiting the 2027 class. You're recruiting the 28, the 29, heck, maybe even the 30 class. A lot of times, once this year rolls around, the work is done for the most part. The relationships are built, and it's just about closing. So think about stepping into that. You're stepping into that very heated battles. A lot of these coaches already have mega deep relationships. I mean, you just take Nyaire Crum, for example. This was the defensive staff was a holdover. Not really. There's only a couple of coaches that were held over. But Tim Banks, that was one of the first times that they had ever communicated. Nyaire Crum and Tim Banks. That's been kind of the theme for all of it. Now, DJ Durkin's obviously going to have his relationships. Vontrell King-Williams is going to have his relationships. But then for the most part, it's everybody starting from ground zero, okay? And all these other coaches already know everybody. I know you're going to say, well, Kyle, I mean, Hugh Freeze had a fair amount of success in his first year. So is it really that big a deal? Here's the difference. Hugh Freeze came in, like him or not, and notwithstanding what happened at Auburn, he came in with some buzz as being known as a great recruiter. He came in with a little bit, I would say, a little bit more fanfare. I know he's controversial, but probably came in with a little bit more fanfare than even Alex Golish. So even with all of that, you had 21 commits in that 2024 class, 17 of those 21. Sorry. So essentially the whole class came after, what's today's date? June 18th. They committed after this date. So even with experience in the SEC as a head coach, not an assistant, even with the buzz that he brought with his name, even with all of that and being known as a great recruiter and already having relationships established, even with all those things, it still took those guys time to put the finishing touches on that class. They're doing it on the front end. They've come in, they've hired a full staff, they've ransacked the portal, added almost 50 guys from the portal, and they've got 19 commits on June 18th. It's really crazy the amount of progress they've made in such a short amount of time and being behind the eight ball. I will be completely transparent. The biggest concern, I actually had two concerns when it comes to recruiting. The defensive side, I felt like was going to be fine. On the offensive side, when you are at a lower level conference for such a extended period of time, you have to adjust your targets. Let's just be honest. Like, if you're at South Florida, you're not typically evaluating and going after guys that are in the, you know, top 100 of the country. And when you have also those hard evals, those, you know, three-star guys, you're saying, can that guy compete at this level? So with your eyes are looking at kids, not looking to see if they're going to be able to compete at the SEC level. It's like, can they compete in this league? And could they, you know, who knows where they project from there, but can they compete in this league? So that was a concern that I had. When they're looking at, it's easy when it's, you know, a top 150 player, when it's a, you know, to an extent, a top 250 player, a top 100 player, five-star, that's easy. It's when you got these guys like a Jalen Moore. I always go back to Jalen Moore because I think he's just criminally underrated. Or maybe, hey, maybe Gary Chapman. It's not can this guy play at South Florida. It's can this guy play in the SEC. And I was worried about the length of time it would take them to be able to alter their eyes as far as picking out talent that can compete. I was concerned about that. And then I was also concerned, let's just be honest, we've seen multiple G5 to SEC upgrades, and that piece has been tough. Look, you're competing against, you got Alabama on one side, you got Kirby Smart on the other with Georgia, you got Josh Heupel at Tennessee that's, you know, they're rocking and rolling. Is Alex Golish, is that name going to be big enough to draw? I was concerned about that. I can be honest. I honestly felt like Auburn would recruit middle of the road, but the results on the field, the execution, the development, I felt like that piece was going to be what was going to separate them. Guys, they're recruiting at an elite level. Like, they're recruiting at a level that, you know, all of your top rivals and teams that you're going to play at the top of the league are recruiting at right now. I'm honestly blown away in how quickly they've done it. Hats off. You got to finish. Commitments have to get here. I know people are going to say, well, I don't like commitments. I want to see signings. You got to sign them, and then you have to make sure they actually enroll in classes in January, because signing doesn't even end it. They still got to get here. And there's some things that this staff's even figured out to help make sure these commitments come to fruition as actual players, you know, on this roster one day. So, I just – every commitment, every guy that pops up, and the way these guys are getting it done and the speed in which they're getting done is remarkable. It really is. So, every time you add a new commit, you kind of sit back and you look at this thing as a whole and you hear the things that the recruits are saying. I love one of the quotes that Nyheer had. He said, you know, I had, you know, some good offers, but when that Auburn one came, man, that one had some pop to it. That makes you feel good too. Auburn still got that it factor to it. There's still some prestige in there that means something. I think kids know that there's potential at Auburn, and hopefully this is a sign that this staff could potentially unlock that. So playing from behind, super impressive. Great job so far. I can't say enough good things about the recruiting efforts right now. It's been a crazy month, and I'm talking about the last 30 to 31 days, and we're going to review that here in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people everywhere. Go to buyauburn.com if you're a business owner and you're an Auburn fan, Auburn alumni, and you want to get your business in front of Auburn fans. This is the way to do it. It's less than a dollar a day. It's the best value out there. You even have a chance to record your own business spotlight podcast. And then if you're an Auburn fan, start your shopping or your buying process at buyauburn.com. We got all kinds of industries covered, and we have all kinds of locations covered. So go ahead and check that out. It's buyauburn.com. And then head on over to aushirts.com. And you can get all of your gear that represents the show. If you love the show, if you love the sayings, if you love the catchphrases and things like that, we've put them on a lot of the apparel pieces. And you can get hoodies, T-shirts, hats, all kinds of stuff at aushirts.com. So show some love. We'll be back right after this. So this last month has been an absolute whirlwind. I mentioned that in Hugh Freeze's class, his first class, the one that was like the, you know, the centerpiece, the masterpiece, 17 of the 21 commits happened after today's date. So after June 18th. Most of them, it kind of all started in July. So far this past month, so if you go back to June, I think 17th, I think Kareem Palmer is when it started. Auburn's added 13 commits of their 19 in the last month. Essentially, a commit every other day. There's been several days where there's been multiple commits. So, I mean, obviously, it didn't happen literally every other day. But that's the way it's felt. It doesn't feel like you go much longer than 2 or 3 days without a commitment. And it's not just adding warm bodies. Like, the amount of elite talent that's been added just in this last month. I mean, think about it. Let's just go down the list. You got Chance Gilbert, the number two player in this class, the number eight player in the state of Georgia in the last month. Leighton Von Brandt, exactly a month ago today. Isaac McNeil, one of the top linebackers in the country. Nate Komba, just recently added. Kingston Miles, hopefully you hang on to him. Ryan Jackson, Reed Ramsire, Kareem Palmer, mention him. And the list goes on and on. Nyheer Crum, Nash Johnson, Aiden Wiggins, Rance Brown, and then your kicker, Noah Ash. I mean, all of that's happened in the last 30 to 31 days. It's been a whirlwind. Now, some of this can be attributed to that dead period in July. And July used to be like a big official visit and, you know, your cookouts and your big recruiting weekends and stuff like that. That happened in July. So there used to be a lot of action in July, and that got bumped up a little bit. So there can be some of that attributed to just the calendar and how the calendar's playing out now. But man, Auburn's never had a recruiting class at this level this early ever. Again, even at the top of the top that Auburn's recruited this early, it's never been the case. Currently, again, I think it says you're eighth. I'm looking at On3 right now. It says you're fifth in the SEC. You're eighth. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong class. 12th in the country on On3, sixth in the SEC. And then on 247, I think you're the eighth in their composite. And that would put you at 1, 2, 3, third in the SEC. Fourth in the SEC. We're just kind of in unprecedented territory right now as far as time frame and then the level of commitments. And you're not done, man. You're not done this week. Probably going to have a commitment from James Pace here on Friday, which would be so exciting because, again, that's another top 200 player. I think he's like what? Actually, he's like a top 170 player in the country at a position that you got to be elite at. You got to be able to go get the quarterback. And then Deshaun Hall as well, you know, another highly rated kid that you're going to be able to snag from, you know, Penn State, Tennessee. You're going to be able to steal from some of the other top teams in the country that have had head starts. Penn State, not necessarily, but Josh Heupel definitely has had a head start on Deshaun Hall. I've seen the date of the 23rd for Deshaun Hall. That could be the case, and I've also seen Friday. So it wouldn't shock me if tomorrow you get two more big-time commits, which is just going to catapult Auburn further up the rankings. I know On3, Auburn was the number 10 class just like a couple days ago. There's a couple of teams that have jumped in that added big commitments. And, I mean, that's going to happen. Like, there's going to be some fluctuation as Auburn's not the only team that's going to be adding players. So every time, you know, somebody behind Auburn adds a big player, you know, they can move up and so on and so forth. And then as Auburn adds players, they're going to move up. I'll tell you this, just On3 in the way that they factor out their rankings, the difference between number 6 and number 12, which is where Auburn is 1 point. They take the average ranking and they take the all, like, I think they're doing 15 right now, and it grows as the time goes on. So right now they got your top 15 guys, and they're averaging out their rankings. So as Auburn adds a James Pace, as Auburn adds a potentially a Deshaun Hall, those guys are going to kick out the lower two of that 15, and that's going to bolster your points way up. And, I mean, like I said, you're a couple of commits away from being right back in the top 10. I say all that to say it's a crazy month. It's not really over yet. And Auburn is still going to be adding dudes, man. It's so much fun. 19 commits. I think the big conversation now is where does it end? Like, what's the number? If you get both of those guys tomorrow, you're at 21. Where do you go from there? You still got Carlos May out there. Still got Marquise MJ Evans out there. So that's right there. That's 23 if you get both of those. And there's still some other dudes out there that you're trying to get as well. So not a ton of work left to be done. Now it's just about retaining and, you know, adding those final pieces. But, man, very, very impressive, action-packed month. It's been awesome because this is a rough time of the year. Let's just be honest. This is a rough time of the year to find stuff to talk about. It doesn't really get kicked up until media days in the middle of July. So this has been a very welcome series of events. Let's talk about the U.S. Open. It's actually going off right now. I know the headliner is Jackson Koivun. Auburn guys that are competing. He actually was exempt. He didn't even have to qualify to get in. He tees off, depending on when you listen to this, he may already be teed off, but 7:25 a.m. Central Standard Time. They're playing in Shinnecock Hills up in Southampton, New York. And if you watched any of it this morning, there's a thick fog and a lot of wind. And that's going to be a theme, I think, throughout the weekend. Probably not the fog, but the wind is going to be pretty crazy. So Jackson's going off. Remember, we talked about this the other day. He's not necessarily a pro yet. He's a pro, but he's not playing as a pro in this tournament because he got his free exemption as an amateur. So if he were to play in it as a pro, which essentially just means he can actually earn money in this tournament, then he would have had to go re-qualify, and that's not good. So it'll be so much fun. I've taken a hiatus from professional golf for a while just because of all of the drama that's gone on with like tour splitting, and really enjoy watching YouTube golf. So it's going to be fun now because I think Jackson Koivun is going to be a fun one to watch because I think he can actually win. I don't think he's just another dude. I mean, he's the number one amateur in the world, top 50 player in the world, regardless of being amateur or not. So it'll be fun to watch him compete. If he can make the cut and be there on the weekend, it'd be a ton of fun. And then you also got your boy Logan Riley, your stud freshman, clutch putter, particularly in match play. I think he hit a long one to put down either Oklahoma State or Stanford early on. Had an incredible freshman year. He actually qualified. So, like, he actually went through the qualification process. I think he qualified. Where did he play? Woodmont Country Club on June 8th. So, he went through and punched his ticket the old-fashioned way, where he actually had to go to one of the qualifying locations with just probably hundreds of other golfers and grind your way to those. There's only a few spots that they actually take. And, you know, depending on the location, it could be, you know, five spots. It could be two spots. I don't exactly know how many it was for this particular qualifier. But Auburn's got two guys this weekend, or hopefully, that are going to be playing on the weekend. They're definitely going to play today and tomorrow. And then we'll have to see how the scores shake out. So make sure you're tuned in, supporting those Auburn Tigers, man, in the U.S. Open. Guys, thanks for listening, and I really appreciate it. We're going to talk again very, very soon. Make sure you like and subscribe, and we'll be back again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.